Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I'm already at mid-walk. Working hard. Hopefully this thing will record okay. I was trying to listen to my... to my recording. But, didn't work out. Oh! What do I listen to these days? Well, you know, there's the old standby, Dan Carlin and Econ Talk. I've since added a few more. Have a lot to do with, well, not really. Doing a lot of John C. Dvorak. He was a kind of a technology news guy, curmudgeonly sort. Probably more from the user standpoint than having any real technical ability. Who's another person that's like that, that got into writing? And use the tools. You know, they were early adopters of computers. Jerry Pornell, who's a sci-fi writer. I don't think he ever wrote anything, you know, amazing. I don't, you know, he's not like... everybody knows him. Some people have read some of his stuff. And, John C. Dvorak's a lot. I think he was kind of that, although he was more of a, perhaps a journalist than he was fiction writer, which is what Jerry Pornelli was. Jerry Pornelli was big. I used to read him with Steve Sciarcia in the old Byte magazine. Which was probably the first consumer computer magazine, or it morphed into the first consumerist computer magazine. It was started in the days of the old hobbyist magazines. And, you know, some bad stuff. Of course, I got into computers in 1979. That was back when computers were still terribly expensive / pricey hobby. What I know about how computers work really has more to do with at those times, if you didn't have a lot of money, you had to put your own computer together, and there's a couple of places that would kind of help you do that. The time of wire wrapping. Of course, all the accoutrements that came with wire wrapping cost a lot, too, for a 12, 13, 14-year-old kid. So, I studied it and dreamed about it and never really got there. When I was older, I was still kind of obsessed with it. I would get old. The old IBM computer boards, the ones that went into the original PC and original PC XT, were wonderful because they were huge boards with lots of commodity chips on them. You could get them for a dollar once they were, you know, garbage. I finally threw all that stuff away last year, knowing that I was just never going to get around any of it. I have projects that are big. They are not relaxing. They are not fun, particularly. I would put them in the realm of sick obsessions. Computers tend to suck in people with sick obsessions. The fact that computers are where they are today and do what they do today, I think is a function of a generation of quasi-autistic, obsessional freaks that have the ability to do this. And I was probably on the very, very, very tail end of that. But, sadly, it doesn't morph into much. I do work that I consider to be a little low. I mean, it's good that I can do it. But I don't get any special recognition for it or anything like that. It's like talking to the breeze sometimes. Regardless, so John C. Dvorak kind of became a computer writer at that time. I've never really looked back at his history. I know when I first started reading his stuff. Actually, it was a little bit later, because I think it was PC Magazine, which was not which was not one of the originals. Jerry Purnell was in it much earlier. But it was mostly just because he had old, you know, he had gotten into using computers to compose his books on very early. And he got kind of a gig doing it back when getting a gig doing these things was really quite, it was really quite easy. Kind of a closed little environment. And he stayed with it for a good long time. His articles called Chaos Manor. I think, frankly, he was a second-rate novelist at best. You know, and every novelist has their own little guidelines of how a good writer should write. You know, the Writer's Digest is chock full of this kind of garbage. Every single writer has their own technique, style. They're all in conflict with each other. So if you say, oh, I'm going to learn how to become a successful writer, and you go, You know, all that advice is garbage. This is, write it, throw it out there. If somebody likes it, they'll publish it. If they don't, they won't. It's just simple, you know, it's just that simple. You know, I'm a published writer, technically. You know, people say, oh, well, you haven't sold very well. And you go, well, that's not really, you know, if that ends up being the measure, everybody should be, who is it, Jodi Picoult or, you know, Stephanie Myers or J.K. Rowling or whatever. And, you know, it's, a fickle business, and you've pretty much just got to do whatever it is you want to do with it. One of my, I don't know if he's a hero, one of the people I followed for a long time is Don Lancaster. Actually, an engineer that ended up just writing. He was the maker of pieces of equipment that most people have never heard of. They came really early on, like the early 70s. Back in the teletype days, your interface to a computer was through basically an electronic typewriter. They were electronic teletype machines, you know, telegrams for a certain amount of time came through these things, and they could be had pretty cheaply as they were becoming, as they were getting on the surplus market from the military. And this became the interface of choice. Before, you just had throw switches and blinking LED lights. And that was what you had. Oh my, there's some characters having problems, I guess. Anyway, let's see. What is there to... So anyway, yeah. I like Don Lancaster. He ran monthly articles for a long, long time in several magazines. In fact, some of the later magazines like Nuts and Bolts, that was one of their original draws to people, was that, hey, look, we have Don Lancaster. He applied, or he developed a certain technique for how you can make money. He called it the Incredible Money Machine, and the Incredible Secret Money Machine. And he had kind of a mix of marketing tricks, and he got into several things that really never took off particularly. He was probably what he did was a bit of a precursor to how the internet is used today. One of his articles was called The Resource Bin. And he made a point to give you a nice sidebar with all of these resources, all these places you can contact and catalog. And that was pretty beautiful at the time. I would I would spend my day in my free time, which had copious amounts, filling out reader reply cards. That was also before the internet. Wasted more gas in that truck this morning, probably, than that truck is actually worth. He probably just used up 20 gallons of gasoline at $3 a gallon. Should have gone up in your truck for 60 bucks, man. Anyway, it really doesn't matter. But now that Don Lancaster is, he still kind of does what he does. I mean, you know, there's nothing else to do. He had a wonderful run of it. I think he was active for probably about, I don't know, 20, 25, maybe even 30 years. Still interesting. Still receive mail. Usually it's just old engineers that see an old kindred spirit and like the regular and the ordinary. Now he runs a website. Very old fashioned. Looks like it came straight out of the 90s. And you have to understand, everything he did that made him popular and well-read has been totally subsumed by the internet. You can get the exact same information you need from him, from that, as you could from him. And you can only play the signpost guy, which is mostly the shtick, until Google was either just as good or better at it than you were, you know. The ultimate, I've been replaced by technology. That's what happened to poor Don, too. Although I really still like listening to him, although sometimes I think he's just, you know, he's just off in esoteric land. He's always been the god of pet projects. He loves PostScript, and he still keeps up with his PostScript stuff. Even though PostScript is gone, 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 or gone, 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 gone. It's really amazing that they still put it on printers. Was that what Adobe essentially was to begin with? Was PostScript. I think that's where PostScript originally came from, perhaps, was Adobe. Of course, PostScript got repurposed over time into what we now call PDF, the PDF file format. which is mostly just PostScript. Adobe Reader used to be called PDF Reader. Used to be called Adobe Acrobat Reader, or Adobe Acrobat was the preferred way of creating PDFs. Now many things create PDFs. And Acrobat has become quite just not even interesting anymore. Microsoft actually, about 5 or 6 years ago, came out with what they had hoped would be the PDF killer, using its incredible market share, the fact that it would throw in an XPS writer reader for free. That never took off. You know, it's okay, because let me tell you, that's Microsoft's business model. It decides you're a target, and it tries to kill you through their Internet Explorer method, which is do something roughly analogous to it, then make it a free tag on to one of your products. Internet Explorer took over the world because it was included for free as part of Windows, which everyone was getting with their computers anyway. Totally destroyed Netscape. And still dominant today, not because it's the best or even particularly good, but because it's simply the easiest. And it does, you know, and everybody, you know, once you dominate the ecosystem, it's very hard for anything else to dominate it, unless you just abandon it. People kind of say, why did that happen with WordPerfect? And you go, well, there was still multiple economies for word processors at the time, back in the late 80s, early 90s. And Word was in there. The thing that made Word work is that WordPerfect wasn't serious about getting into Windows particularly. It looked like and behaved like just a clamp on. You know, they had their DOS product, which was excellent and dominant. And they were slow in getting their Windows thing out, and it gave Microsoft Word the opportunity . I would have to say Word and Excel were probably the last internally produced Microsoft product. Since then, it was buying up this little company. You know, Exchange Outlook was a bot property. Although it's been so long ago, nobody remembers that. And anyway, so, you know, it doesn't matter. I was not particularly an IBM guy. You know, I got a hold of my first IBM compatible computer in 1997. Before then, I was still using my old reliable CPM. It did the job I needed done. I did college on CPM. I published books on CPM. That and old Diablo 810 knockoff, really cheap one, I got for next to nothing. I always stay behind the trend because, let me tell you, computer prices go to the floor. Now that stuff would have been worth thousands of dollars. In fact, when I finally sold my Ampro little board on eBay, was it last year? Yeah, last year. So I said, you know what, I'm not ever going to get back to that. It's just not interesting anymore. I do all my word processing other ways now. Although I do have to say that if anybody asks about like the miracle of a quilt and other writings from before like 1998, all those were done on CPM. I didn't do them on modern equipment, or relatively modern equipment. The rest of the 1998 writing year was done on Microsoft, what was that product called? Write. No. That could have been. Kind of a DOS version of Microsoft Word. There's a couple of DOS versions of Word. And I seem to recall using that, although I think the product was called Write. And I did all of my 1998 stuff on that. I produced... Anyway, so, I'm sorry. I don't know if I want to go back to Jerry Purnell or not. You know, he shows up every once in a while on some older stuff. He's an older man now. He took advantage of the times, but it didn't translate over into anything else. You know, the techniques and the things that he did and the books that he wrote were just, you know, definitely tied to the times. And you could probably still get his books, but I don't think they're defining on any level at all. And not, you know, I'm sorry, don't... It isn't to denigrate him at all. I think he did really well. If you want to know somebody that could morph his writing skills into money in several different, you know, areas, he is one of those guys. Don Lancaster is definitely one of those guys. Because first he was an engineer, he built stuff, and his most original stuff were plans mostly for little things that would be built by other engineers. This was before very much at all was ready built. You know, all computers were handmade back then. The big mainframes, that's why they cost so much. They were basically handmade. There wasn't enough call for it to be mechanized. It didn't happen until microcomputers came out. That was the first time when there was really a desire for manufacturing when it came to it. So I always thought the fact was kind of cool. I have always had a few Don Lancaster books. The TTL cookbook was one of my early books. just from the standpoint of learning about logic and how to apply Boolean math to things. Back, you know, the TTL technology. You can still get TTL chips. They made millions of them. Like I said, you can go to any old computer board, probably buy a box of them for a dollar now, and get tons of TTL chips, mostly discrete logic blocks. If it was a NOT gate, they're usually 14, 16 pin chips. And you would, however many inputs and outputs there were for each individual gate, or each individual flip-flop, each individual function, I guess you could say, you might have two on a chip, or three, or four, sometimes eight. And this is how all this stuff got started for me. Of course, now it's whizzed right past me. I think having a basic understanding of how these things work really helps a lot. You know, I don't want to denigrate anybody for their skill set. It's hard to translate understanding of this stuff into work where this is actually kind of useful. Logic is of very limited value these days. They like giving people that don't understand a script, and it becomes monkey work to them for how to do this and how to do that. When I go and help people, the next lower level text with problems, it seems like it's all just based strictly on experience. You know, following a recipe is all that's required for a lot of these things. That's a little bit sad. That also means that in a lot of ways, I'm like the man with one eye in the land of the blind, and they tell me I'm the king. And you go, no, I'm not. I don't know if it's foolish or not that I ultimately haven't pursued the regular course. I think if I would have pursued the regular course, I probably would have done far better than I have done, at least monetarily. That also indicates that I'm not really interested in money, but I am interested in being able to use my skills, and that's one of the struggles I have, is the fact that it just doesn't require the skill set much. My old boss, or one of my old friends, Betty Johnson, told me once about my ability to synthesize that she noticed. And she said, that's an amazing skill. And you go, yeah, a rather unproductive one. Although I must say that I've gotten to the place I'm at mostly due to my extracurricular activities. I work on Linux today, not because my jobs gave me that opportunity particularly, but because I learned it on the side. I shoved it into things, and it seems like it's more about how long you've been with the company than anything else. And that's, you know, it's understandable on a certain level. But it means that if you're getting better people aren't going to stick around very long. You know, because we're going to chase another rainbow. You know, I really don't think it's a question of money, except that it is one of the considerations to if you stay with something or you don't. It's obvious the thing for Talus is not long term or doable, because the money's just not there either. My family is really becoming kind of a suffering thing here. It's just interesting. Turn the corner. Going to high school. Going past the high school. Anyway. I really don't know exactly how to, how to pursue with my life. Seems like all the people that I look up to Chuck Eubanks, stuff like that. These were people who ultimately got on the ground floor of a company and they became big people just by chance. You can't follow their example and expect to get the results. It was lightning. It was the times. It was whatever. These are smart guys, but not business savvy particularly. Although he might have developed those skills later, as it was required to get things done. I listened to an interview with Chuck Eubanks. I don't know who he works for now. he wrote basically, I don't know, two or three software packages. Now they are completely unknown, except to old timers. Basic C was probably one of the first basic compilers. You know, and BASIC's not used by hardly anybody anymore. It's a relic. To say that you know how to use it is to just indicate your age, not really your skill set, I guess. I forget what else he wrote. He did something for the early Symantec. He might have been one of the creators of Symantec, one of the founders, before they got all Norton-y. Said that Peter Norton was the wunderkind for, like, security. That was when security was coming in. Symantec was an early player in security and dominated the field for quite a while. Still there. Norton still exists. I think it's still Symantec, although I know Symantec's probably been bought out by five other companies since that time. I don't even know if Eubank's even involved in it anymore. He'd be quite elderly now. Most likely his at some point took some kind of golden parachute and, you know, is living a nice life somewhere, I hope. You know, my primary need is just to get to that point to where I have the means to participate in the work of the Lord. I really don't. If somebody isn't reimbursing me for gas, I'm sunk. I'm not paying my mother back for anything that I borrowed from her. I think Jack has paid off one of our cars, but the van isn't paid off at all. And it's really quite, you know, I said, I'm really confused. Whose patriarchal blessing are we talking about? Lisa swears up and down that God knows him from the beginning, and he does, but that he took into account my life course, and you go, I don't think so. He might have, but he doesn't have to. You know, your future isn't written to that point. I just don't know. I'm frustrated because nearing 50, I think I should be in a better, you know, I should be better able to do these things, and I still have not been. I'm still living off of my parents' money. Struggling. And it seems like even if I take a bigger job, more responsibility that actually has more money attached to it, it seems like the cost of living is higher as well, and therefore, you know, it's either a wash, but more typically, given my fortune, it's just, I'm actually thinking further. And I don't know what to say. can't seem to get ahead on anything. I've got all this increasing ability, but it's totally destroyed by just circumstances. I don't know what to do about it. It's just intrinsically frustrating. I look around me at people who are poorer, less capable. Yes. And they seem to be able to do so much more than I can. And it's just, you know, the biggest thing is just the frustration. I don't know what magic sprinkle I need to have on it. But to keep plugging ahead. Maybe in a little while, after this master's is done, be able to use this material professional experience I'm getting here as a server admin. Maybe this stuff will help me. I need to stop applying for work. It's a waste of time right now. I'm applying for lateral transfers. They might pay more. But like I said, it ends up being a net loss for just everything. I need to stop talking to Lisa about it. She's getting all excited about places and things, and it's just not... It's not going to go anywhere. So I don't know how many hops it's going to take. What's going to happen? What opportunities are going to present themselves to me? Or if I'm just going to simply be, I don't know. What's going on? So you just keep working on it. Working on the masters. I got the technology and education conference in a couple of weeks that I need to spend time at work working on. After work, spend a few hours every night working on school. Crank that stuff out, get that stuff out of the way. I want to get that job done. And then we'll need to get in positions where it's worthwhile being a really confident guy. Because I see that it's not very useful here. People to write me stuff too. Larger recommendations. I get. Anyway, I can't say. Off. Need to be more careful in the future. I usually plug in my phone into a computer to charge. That works fine if it's long term. Sadly, its tendency is to rip your SD card offline. So that if you're downloading something, it's just gone. So I need to make better plans for that. Do it in better. I'm always ended up doing it at home because that's what I think of it. And my home network is poor at best for anything. Anyway. Not exactly sure. I want to handle things. I've been looking at MediaWiki as a possible possible foundation underlayment for the Shetland project. But I've been playing around with FossWiki, the Twiki variant, and it's got some different appeal too, from the standpoint of it's really good for attachments. Ends up kind of behaving exactly the same way. MediaWiki is more about levels and control and things like that. FossWiki is more about getting out of the way. I think I kind of like that. I mean, you can use FossWiki to be kind of a controlling thing if you like. But it's not rigged up that way. And if you're going to be, you know, monitoring these things over time, I think FossWiki is just as good for being kind of an internal sort of system upon which you can rely for a variety of things. More of a programmer's wiki, which might be good for me. More of a scripter's wiki. The term programming means something different to me. I mean, somebody who sits down and builds WordStar, or you know, Microsoft Word. Although you know that was a huge team project, lots of programmers on it. As opposed to, you know, I consider them script kiddies. People that break things down to little pieces, and then they program the little pieces. and you share it. You know, it's all really very good. I don't call that programming particularly. Although if other people do great, then I'm a fine programmer. Programming languages are getting high level enough that people with less understanding can have better understanding of things. Anyway, I don't know. If I look at it, I say, you know what? You're going to end up being hopefully not too much of a manager type. All I see them doing is doing paperwork all day. Signing off on things. More of an administration function than anything else. And, I don't know. I always see myself as the thought leader. I don't know if it really rises to level being a voice of wisdom, but advisor. Not that I care about the power particularly. More about the day-to-day grind. Gosh, that girl's running. That's why she stays ahead of me. You guys think I go pretty fast. I got pretty long strides. But I am slow and late. If I don't leave early, I'll arrive late. I've gotten to the point where I tend to arrive early at almost everything I do. And I don't really know if I'm, you know, and frankly, I think I'm too old. I said, even if they say, wow, he's really quite good, I go, he's too old. So we won't let him do it. We'll take him on. We're not going to make him a junior executive. 50-year-old junior executive? I don't think so. So I'm not really sure what I'm going to ultimately do with it. Anyway. Database administrators. I need to start saying I am one. For all the ability it requires, I think I can easily just start saying, yeah, I'm an Oracle DBA. I should take a test for it. Just to see if I got it. I'm sure I can synthesize enough understanding to be able to be pretty good at it. Probably quite good at it. But I don't know if that's what I want to be. Or CCNA. Go ahead and take the test for being a Cisco network associate. Knock that sucker out of the park. But I really need some more money. Like I said, we're barely surviving. Anyway, thinking about people going on missions, Brent's actually been going on a mission. I think that made Shana feel really crappy, so now she's decided she wants to go on a mission too. So it's like, you know, two people on a mission same time, they go, I don't have any money for this at all. Brenna can contribute to it. I don't know how much money she has left of what she's saved up. Shana has zero. I have hope that these will be good things. I hope Heavenly Father will help us. But sad to say, my experience is that suffering is somewhat my lot. Not big suffering, little suffering. Just never quite getting there. I'm sure it's very obvious what I'm doing wrong. I think the first thing is you're too old. Forget it. You're a fool. You should have done this 25 years ago. Yeah. Working for... I'm sorry, less capable man. Not that one for guys. But, I don't know. I do not know. I don't know what to do. So we get this master's. We'll use it to springboard me to something else, and then we'll see from there. So it's easy to get depressed in my world. You know, I guess I can feel kind of how Shana feels. She's done some really stupid things in her past. And they come back to bite her in the butt every day. And I don't know what, I don't know what's going on. Stupid people with no skills at all have better chance of getting ahead than either. Because it has more to do with not screwing up than with being capable. Keep going forward. Taking care of all the things I need to do. I think I should just stay in tooth and carry. Worked on writing. That wasn't going to work either. See? I don't know. It's tricky. Saying you're supposed to be something, you're supposed to be doing something, and it just feels like it's never going to come. So I'm solving a big problem. Not having a degree in what I do. That should help a bit. Moment arrives. Take a look at this stuff, see how it works. Continue learning, continue growing. you know, to a large extent, you'll always be taken advantage of. There'll always be a deal. I just want to make enough money to make ends meet, to be able to do, to contribute to some things, which I can't do right now. I'd like to use my capacity better. I don't feel like I am now. Help me, Father. Help me to have these things. Help you to keep on plowing away. Original plan's good. Work the plan. Quit getting distracted. I've let my impatience at getting a different job get in the way. I need to stay focused. So, after this technology and education conference is done, I'm gonna, I'm not gonna take on any more of this project. Working on school, which includes the Shetland project. So those two things go together. I like doing it with the wiki because it's a little more open, usable by people. Hopefully not too tough to administer. And we can, so we can see what can be seen. I'm definitely in favor of that kind of business. Oh. Keep working on that. Like Foss working, I gotta do a presentation on that on Wednesday. See, this is kind of what we have pulled together. Hello? Oh, no, you're fine. Hi. Yeah, hell of a bird. Good morning. born again. Oops.